watching and enjoying the communion song as you were playing that, and I wondered if I feel like I was on for a second, or we in a Jewish temple, because there was rolling out this scroll of music to be able to play. I'm like, man, that's one way to do it. That'll work. There was a day when we did not have digital, huh? It was all on paper and memory. Yeah. Today, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to interject a different discussion than the Tough Topics series that we've been in. We're going to jump back into that next week, but I want to focus on listen to Jesus today. It's something that I kind of learned in a fresh way this week, and I want to share that with you and share a little bit of my story from this week and just kind of how that hit me. Do you find that you can go most every place you go, you see somebody with earbuds in their ear, and sometimes there'll be those white ones with the long stem on it, and it's sitting in their ear, and everywhere you go, you just see people with them in their ear. And not a good thing, not a bad thing, it's just observation, right? Yeah, and I don't have the white ones. I have a different kind, and I will usually, when I'm outside doing something or working or running, I will put one in one ear, and then I would say I just don't put the other, but I lost the other one, so all I have is one. That's all I can do, and I just put one in my ear, and then I just kind of go out and I do what I'm doing, right? I've found that... I even say this. This would be a better segue into the first thing I want to say is that I did the Evansville Half Marathon yesterday. And yeah, right? And my legs are sore today. But anyways, you notice that a lot of people have earbuds in their ear when they run, which is totally cool. And when I run, I typically do that. In training, I don't ever wear them in a race. But nonetheless, and you never really know who you can kind of talk to. You always have to... Oh, they have earbuds in, you know, and just kind of keep moving because they probably don't want to talk to anybody. They're dialed in and focused, and I totally get that. We've had in our home at times where it's either been me or somebody else has had earbuds in, and, you know, you say their name and you get no response. And then you say it again and you get no response. Or you say something and there's just like, did they hear me? And some of the parents are grinning and laughing, or grandparents, right? You're like, I don't know, do they hear? So you say it again a little louder, and then you still get nothing. You're like, how loud must that really be in their ear that they can't right, hear what I'm like? They don't seem receptive to the communication that I am offering them at this moment. What is going on here? And it could be all sorts of things, but they struggle to hear. And then sometimes it's not that they don't hear you because they may be looking right at you, but they're just not paying attention to what you're saying. And plus, think of it this way. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're talking? They're talking to you and you're going, they get a couple sentences in and you, in your head, you just go, oh, I got to focus because I do not know what they just said to me. All right, hold on, pay attention. Context clues. I got to figure this thing out because I'm going to look like a I could put an adjective in there. When they're like, well, I was talking to you. Did you not catch what I said? And I was like, well, I was kinda. I was trying, but my head went somewhere else and I was there and I forgot to come back until the very end. I wasn't paying very close attention. My bad. And then sometimes somebody may hear you and they're paying attention, and they don't respond. You right? So you were really anticipating that they were going to respond to what you had said. And so sometimes we as parents are, we will say something to our kids, and we may not tell them that this is what they have to do, but, you know, we're really kind of expecting that if I tell you this and how to do this and da-da-da, that you will pick up on the clue that this is something I'd really like you to respond and do. Ever been there? Maybe? Okay. I really would like for you to act upon what I have just said to you. And then sometimes it's probably the flip side is somebody says something to us, or they're saying something that they want us to respond to, and they're wanting us to, you know, they need help in some form, and they want us to help them, and which requires us to respond, right, to whatever's needed. Or the instructions, somebody tells you they need you to do something, and you're like, yeah, I hear that, but I ain't doing that, kind of thing. Hear and listen. In the Hebrew language, there is one word that is meant to convey not just hearing and paying attention, but also following through and obeying. And that word in Hebrew is called Shema. There's a Greek word that has that same meaning, because the Hebrew and the Greek language only have one word that gets to the heart of listening. And in our Western culture, we've often taken listen as, yeah, I'm listening to you. Are you going to do something with that? Well, that no, I'm just listening. You know, kind of thing. It's like, or with your spouse, like, I'm listening. It's like, are you going to do that? Well, maybe not, but I'm listening. I don't know yet. If your husband's smart, you, yeah, I can do that. Sure. I'm trying to learn that personally, but that's just me and my dirty laundry, I guess. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God has spoken to Moses, and he's told him, these are the things that I want you to tell Israel to really focus on, and I want to read that to you today. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'd like to start, if I may, at, I think at verse 4. We may pick up verse 3. It's kind of debating back and forth on this. Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you want to turn in your Bible, feel free to do so, or if you have the book or the phone on your phone, however you do that. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, so chapter 4, he says, I'm getting ready to give you some commands. Chapter 5 gives them the Ten Commandments and starts to get this concept of a law that you're going to live by. It's going to guide your life. And then come to chapter 6. Here's what he says to them. Let's just go to verse 3. Let's do that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear, or Shema, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Verse 4. Hear, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, He's the one true only God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And he goes on to remind them kind of down the road in the text that if you will follow this, if you will Shema, you will be blessed. In the end, you shall be greatly blessed. But you need to Shema. You need to what? You need to hear, and you need to pay attention, and you need to respond. For God, it meant all the same in one word, that you hear me, that you would pay attention, and then that you would act upon, you would respond to what I have communicated to you. He didn't have to come back and say, obey. He didn't have to say, respond. He didn't have to say, would you dial in and pay attention to me? The one word carried it all. Talk about the power of a word. When God spoke the Ten Commandments to Moses, that's exactly what he was getting at. Right? Here are the commandments by which you are to orient your whole life around. listen to me as I give them. Pay attention and respond to them. For this is the way to a blessed life. That life in the land of what? Flowing with milk and honey. Like, this is the kind of life that's a good life for you. This is the one that produces fruit for you. This is the kind of life where you flourish, you thrive in my goodness. I'm not surprised that this is actually the way that God would communicate to Moses and to Israel, because actually from the very first communication that God has with Adam and Eve, it's the same concept. It's the same idea. God tells Adam and Eve, you are to enjoy all of this that I have created for you, right? Do you remember this story, right? You go back, he says, don't you do all of this, and here's all the nature around you, and the for to eat and to enjoy and build with and farm and make the most of it. This is for you. This is my gift to you. And then he's like, pay attention though, because there is this particular tree in the garden, and you need to be aware of that. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if you eat of that tree, now surely you will die. You need to pay attention. You need to respond by not going to that tree and getting into trouble. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. And they have that choice. Will they listen and trust? Or will they just hear and say, I trust my way to be of more advantage for me than what God has said is actually good for me? And we know how the story turns out, right? If you're not, I would encourage you to read Genesis chapter 3, and there we read of the fall of man, where sin, the first sin, is experienced in humanity and life. It makes a difference whether you choose to hear, pay attention, and respond by faith, or hear, maybe even pay attention, they're like, no, I'm not responding that way. Because I think I know an even better way. And I want to try this way. I want to see how it goes. When even Jesus taught, I can tell you that he held the same expectation for his audience. Does anybody remember the gospel? I think I might have asked this last week or the week before, but do you remember the gospel message that Jesus preached when he came on the scene? Does anybody remember this with a repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? His message was to repent. It was to turn away from living a sinful life that was not in covenant with God. Turn away from that life, for the kingdom is here. And he was bringing the kingdom by his presence. And he says, this is the life you ought to live. So you're going to have to repent from the old and turn to the new. So I need you to hear what I'm saying. I need you to pay attention to what I'm teaching you. And then I need you to be obedient to turn away from sin and turn to a life of righteousness. In Luke 11:28, Jesus gives, it just makes me feel good kind of verses. I really like it. So Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he's tapping into this whole premise that really his whole ministry was started with and built upon. And I really love it. Luke 11:28. Here's what he says. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. But to obey something, you have to pay attention to it. Because how are you going to know what to obey if you don't pay attention to what it is that's actually required of you? And he says, blessed are those who will hear, pay attention, and obey. Sometimes that's an uncomfortable, I think, thought. Like, oh my goodness, like, do I need to be more obedient to Christ? Are there things in my life that I need to, like, repent of, and I need to get right with the Lord, and I need to turn it around, you know, kind of thing? It's like, I don't even think about that. because maybe I would rather just hide from kind of what I probably know is there, but I really don't want to face it, and I don't want to deal with that. I don't think I have the, I'm too tired to deal with that in my life right now. And it might be the very thing that's exhausting you is the very thing that you're afraid to actually let Jesus heal. But that healing requires hearing Him calling, paying attention to Him calling, and responding to that invitation to allow Him to bring healing in the very thing that's just killing you, man. It's just wearing you out. When I think of Jesus at the cross and that image of Him at the cross, makes me think of how He kept telling everybody, like, along the way, and especially His disciples, right? But I mean, He's telling them, He's like, hey, I'm going to go that way. Like, I'm headed to the cross, and I am going to do this. Not because I want to die. I mean, He took no pleasure in experiencing the excruciating pain of death. And we know this, right? Because He prays, Father, if You can't, take this cup of suffering from Me, because I really don't have to experience all this. But if this is truly what You want, then let it be. I'll go this route. Because what lies on the other side of the suffering and the pain is the healing and the joy of the nations. Because you're going to turn the world upside down. That's who You are. And You're going to heal. And You're going to save all who will hear and pay attention to that calling and will respond to that calling. All who would call on the name of the Lord by responding by faith shall be saved, shall be made right with God, shall be made whole. They shall have a relationship with God in the kingdom of God as a brother and sister with Christ, as a son and daughter of the King, as we say, right, or of God the Father. They have a new identity in Christ. They're not who they were. They have been made new, been made whole where they were once broken. They're experiencing victory over suffering, over addictions, over strongholds in their life. Their eyes are being opened to where they have been blinded before. Their emotions that were just whipping their butt every day, or they're finding that those things are not whipping their butt as much anymore. That it's like, I feel like I'm rising above this, that I'm not drowning in it, but I'm able to walk through it. And my eyes are seeing more clearly now. It's just like I was once Saul with scales over my eyes, but yet the scales are dropping off, and I feel like I'm walking in what Paul says, the victory of Christ daily. And I just feel like I know now what I didn't know before. And I don't have all the answers, but I know great is the One who has taken me from where I was to where I am. And I just want to praise Him and thank Him. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my deal. He said, I've come to do the will of My Father who has sent Me. He said, my life's not about Me. It's not about what I would desire in the flesh to do. It's about what I in my heart desire to do for the Father. And I don't speak out of turn, He says. I speak what the Father tells Me. And I don't go places unless the Father would direct Me. And I don't teach anything other than what the Father desires to be taught. I don't heal unless the Father chooses that healing come place. He said, I've surrendered everything to the Father, and I just want to be obedient to the Father. That's it. Because in that, people see what love looks like, the love of God. Hearing, being attentive, responding. I would argue for the life of Jesus that it is the trajectory of love. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear My voice and they follow Me. My sheep hear. Now remember, the Greek word we get translated in the New Testament to say the sheep hear My voice, not like we think, right? We think, oh, I heard it. No, when Jesus says the sheep hear My voice, and He says, they follow Me. It's a parallel statement. Because when it says they hear, they're already responding. But then it clarifies what that means when they hear my voice. It says they follow me. That's how they're responding. So to hear the voice of Jesus from Jesus' own teaching is not just to hear. It's not just to read. Man, here we go. To hear the voice of Jesus from the Gospels and to hear the voice of God through His Word from Genesis to Revelation is not just to read it and the word and get the words off of a page and go, well, I've learned something new today. That's fantastic. But to hear is to do something with what you have learned. Otherwise, you have not truly heard. And James would say in James chapter 1, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. James is playing on that relationship of the word, right, that's rooted in that Shema. He's playing on that. So don't be just a hearer, be a doer. Follow through. What have you truly gained if you have heard, but then you don't do? He says, you're just like a person that looked in the mirror and was like, look at me. And then you walk away and you go, now what did I look like? Yeah. You just passed right over. He says, no, don't. Respond. And you don't have to have it all figured out, and you don't have to have all the answers, and you don't have to prove that God is real or that He is true or that He exists or that He's going to do what He said. It has nothing to do with all of that. It just has to do with whether or not you'll choose to believe that God is good, He loves me, and I don't have all the answers, but I'm grateful for what He's done through Christ, and I choose by faith to take my earbuds out. I'm going to listen to God through His Word. I'm going to listen to God as I sit and just relax in a time of prayer or silent reflection. And I don't have to have God tell me something, but I know in that moment that God will remind me that He loves me, because that has never changed. I mean, His Word won't either, but maybe since I know I'm loved by the God that I seek. And I'm going to choose to respond to the things that I'm learning. I've got a lot more to learn. But I'm going to take what I know and I'm going to respond to that. You imagine being the disciples. Jesus said, come follow me. They're like, where? What are we going to do? I'll make you fishers of men. Well, what does that mean? Like, huh? You're going to teach and heal. Excuse me? Only God heals. Well, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm sorry, what gift? Like, imagine the questions. Leave your life, leave your job, just come with me. How do we eat? Where shall we stay? How are we going to get what we need? Oh, just trust me. Just trust me. What? Can you imagine the questions? Holy moly. Hear, pay attention. And respond. That was the expectation Jesus had for the disciples as He called them, and what He still has for us. To me, when I think of Shema, I think of it as love. The end of last week, I had reached out to a friend of mine who knew that I was sick. He's not just a dear friend of mine, but he's also been a mentor over, 18 years. And he was deathly ill, and they said he's got like a week to two to live. So I was like, I got to go. Like, I got to go. I just got to go. And so I dropped what I was doing, and 2 days later, I hit the road up to Michigan. And I didn't know what to expect. They said, you know, it's like a week to 2 weeks. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm trying to wrap my brain around that, right? And so I drive up there, I get up there, And he had just got up from a nap, and he comes walking out with his walker, and I was like, "What is going on here?" And we got to visit a lot, and it was really good, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then we had dinner, and then things that night went downhill, and it was tough to hear. And then in the morning, wasn't really much better. So the lady that was giving his caregiver is like, "I need to go run a couple errands. Can you sit with him?" And I was like, "Sure, yeah, absolutely. Like, go." So she's like, "I appreciate that." So I'm sitting there. So I'm sitting at the dining room table, and I'm trying to work on what will be next Sunday's sermon. And I hear some noise in the back of the house. And so it was my friend hollering out that he needed help. He was just in a tremendous amount of pain. So I go back there, and he wanted something to drink. So I went to the kitchen and got him some tea and brought it back to him, and then help him to, you know, sit up and then take a drink of tea, and just to be able to lay down and just to relax the best that he could. And I'm not telling you this because I want you to think, "Wow, you're a really good friend." No, I'm telling you this because that encounter taught me something about Shema. It taught me something about listening as an act of love. I didn't go up there and I didn't go help him when I heard him writhing because I made a commitment. I guess I better do it, you know. I mean, she left, I'm here. What's he going to do, you know? What I tell him, "Suck it up, buttercup." No, because I love him and I care about him. And so I went to his room attentively to try to figure out, like, okay, well, what's up? What can I do? Like, how can I help, if anything? Da, da, da. And so then he tells me. And I didn't even think twice about go, like, to respond. Like, whatever you need, I got it. Like, I'm here. I want to help you. You know, I love you. We got this. And so I go, right? And I get his tea, and I come back, and he drinks it, and da, da, da. Then and it wasn't until later that I learned God hasn't invited us to Shema because it's a duty and it's about, or we're trying to focus just on the law, right? The Shema was never really about just that. And it isn't still today that we hear to the people around us, including God, and we pay attention to the people around us, including God, and to what they need, and what can love do, and what's needed in love, and we respond, not because I have to, but because, man, I want to. Like, I want to love you. I want to share God's love with you. Not just because you're getting closer to the end of your life, but because I care about you. And it's my privilege to be able to do that. Listening is an act of love. Listening and responding all together. Because we paid attention to what is needed. That's love. And then it hit me that, you know, isn't that really what this is all about? That God not only saw, but he heard us, he listened to us in our sin, and he was attentive to what we needed that we could not do for ourselves, and seeing us there incapable, he said, "I'm going to respond. And I'm going to come to you in your sickness of sin. And I'm going to do for you what you can't do. And I'm going to bring you forgiveness. I'm going to bring healing, salvation to you. I'm going to bring all these things that you have always wanted and needed but unable to do. I'm going to bring them to you. And it's my gift to you. I'm not doing it because it's a duty. I'm doing it because that's what you need. And I love you. And I want to give you what you need. And that is truly what you need. You need atonement. You need a gift, and I'm the only one that can give that to you. So it's my pleasure to do that, and it's my privilege. I just want you to know how much I love you, and it's my hope that you'll accept my gift. Not because you have to, because you don't have to. You don't. But you can, and you can allow Him to love you through Jesus Christ. You can, or you can fight it, or you can be closed off to it. You just have the option. I find that Jesus will call you to repentance, to turn from sin and turn to salvation. He'll call you to die to the old you. He will call you to follow Him with faith. He will call you to love your enemies and forgive them. He will call you to a life of generosity so that people are blessed through you. Wherever God's calling you, hear Him. Be attentive. Pay attention. You might have to put some things down and just slow down. As we say, slow your roll. Pay attention. Don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear in the Lord when you're saying yes to the Lord. And respond. Yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. Yes, speak, Lord, if your servant is listening. Let's do this. I don't know what it's going to all mean, but whatever you want, Lord, I'm game to go that way, and let's just see where it takes us. Do it all with love for God who loves you. Practice the heart of Shema. It'll change your life. It'll melt your heart. It's extremely powerful. And nothing like it in the world. I promise you. Amen.